A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on September 30, 1990, in the series Creative Dislocation, entitled Worship is Irrepressible or It is Deadly. The scripture reading is from 1 Chronicles 29, verses 6 through 13. The text for the sermon is 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 13. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
In this week of dedicatory celebration and thanksgiving, as we take cognizance of the new facility that is ours and the new possibilities that are ours for ministry, I want for a few moments to have you reflect with me on that act in which we are now together engaged. There is not much that hasn't been touched by restructuring and reordering and rearrangement. And I do commend you as a people for your grace and your patience and your good humor. There isn't much about our life that hasn't been impacted by our attempt to find some new and more effective means by which to worship and to nurture this body of people. And as we do that, the focus tends to fall on that new ministry center and our new educational possibilities and that whole dimension of our life, and rightly so. But I want you to not miss the fact that the newness that we are celebrating is not really the newness of a building. It is the newness of our congregational life. It is the newness of our life together in community. And I want you not to miss the fact that that newness impacts us here in worship as well as in that other dimension of our life for which now we have provided space. It was back in the middle 70s when the growth of this congregation necessitated that we begin to build something, and we could well have built at that time everything that is now in place, but obviously we couldn't. You have to walk before you can run. And so we have been at this process in stages until now we complete the circle. We could well have had that facility years ago, and yet at that time, having to make a choice, we decided that if we created this space, then worship, which was the energizing center of our life, would continue to grow and expand, and it would continue to enable and to energize the rest of our life. We had seen studies at that time where it was demonstrated that when Sunday morning was good, the rest followed. But where there was nothing happening on Sunday morning, nothing else had the breath of life either. And so we created this space, knowing the day would come when there would be other space that would need to be created. And having created that space, we have now come to that time, and we thank God and we celebrate it. But in being able to move into a fuller dimension of life in community, there is no downplaying, there is no lessening of our recognition that this is the hour, this is the moment, this is the setting, which is still very much the center of our life. I want us for a few moments to reflect on that in which we are presently engaged in the act of corporate worship, of coming together consciously into the presence of God to worship and to adore, to understand something of that which we pray by God's grace will be our experience week by week. Here too, we are trying to find our way. We are trying to find that contemporary expression which will enable us to bring our lives into conjunction with the life of God, to bring our faith vision into relationship with our daily, ordinary human experience. We are trying to find our way to create that moment in which our lives will be caught up in the majesty and the mystery of the presence of God. The Old Testament lesson I read merely as an illustration, not in order to exposit a text in that paragraph, but simply to set it forth as one of those beautiful biblical instances of the worship of the people of God. As I read it, I hope that something came through of the overwhelming sense of joy and amazement that gripped the heart of David and that was contagious in that it caught up the congregation as well. It's a wonderful thing when one bursts out, overflows, bubbles up with a kind of spontaneous eruption that cannot be contained. There's so much comment about the dullness of the church or how boring the church is, and I'm afraid too often it's true. But it is so wrong, because worship, if it is anything, is irrepressible. It is the spontaneous eruption of the depths of emotion out of the core of one's being in the light of the goodness and the greatness and the grandeur of God. We all express ourselves differently. Some like it hot and some like it cool. And certainly there is no right way to do it, but worship, if it is worship, is that which cannot be manipulated or controlled. But when it happens, it is irrepressible. And if it's not that for the people of God gathered on the Lord's Day morning, then it's probably deadly. Then it is probably boring and dull and deadening, not only deadly. David poured out his heart in light of the goodness and the mercy of God. He had been Israel's great king. One thing had been denied him, and that was to erect this temple to the glory of God. But he was able to make the preparations. He was able to gather the goods. He was able to move the people, to put the pieces in place in order that through his son Solomon there would be this magnificent edifice for the worship of God crowning Mount Zion. And as he saw the possibility of that taking shape, his heart was moved. And he simply had to give voice to the depths of feeling, the emotion that quite overwhelmed him. That's what worship is. It is the busting forth of a person cut loose from his or her limitations in a moment of sensing the greatness of God. A good deal of the anguish that overtakes me on Saturday night and Sunday morning is the recognition that that is indeed the case. And I can't make it happen. I want so desperately for it to happen. Week after week, I would that there would be no one who would come in here who would not taste the glory, sense the wonder, experience the exhilaration, get a glimpse, a vision of the wonder of the God who is not at our disposal. Sort of like putting all the pieces together and being unable to breathe life into it. In my old age, I got wise, and I have in the fireplace a gas log. Simple thing, turn a little dial, flame comes on, living fire. No wood to chop, no ashes to remove. And if you don't stop to think about it, it almost looks real. But I do remember in other days when there was a real fireplace, and never having got beyond the wolf badge of the Cub Scout stage, I wasn't very good at starting fires. Crinkle the paper, put little pieces of kindling together, add two or three logs so there's some room to breathe, start the fire and forget to open the damper. No, I've done that too, but no, being at that point where it's already, all the pieces are there, and having no fire, getting it all set, and having no fire, being totally dependent upon the fire coming from beyond oneself, one having no control over it, it not being at one's disposal. In a sense, worship is like that. I can struggle and sweat, wrestle with the Word of God. Peter can weave together a beautifully phrased offering of prayer. Greg can prepare a magnificent organ offertory, and the choir can be well rehearsed with an anthem with its potential to open the courts of heaven. But all the pieces can be there. It is still quite apart from the ability of any one of us to remove the veil and to cause the glory to shine through. It must happen by the grace of God, through the movement of the Spirit of God, blowing on those pieces that we can only put together until here and there, now and again, for this one or that one, it breaks forth into flame. Worship is the coming together to put ourselves in the story, God's story. When David called Israel to the joyful celebration of that ingathering for the temple, he was living in a rich history. Not only his own personal history, having been anointed as a boy by Samuel, but all of the history of Israel's story, the history of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and of Moses and the judges. David was not an isolated individual cut off from the past, standing in this splendid isolation of a moment as an individual. He was part of a story. And we're part of a story too. And when we come into worship, we come to put ourselves in the setting to hear the story rehearsed, the story recited, the story told and retold, the story of God's grace in the history of Israel, the story of God's grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a story. We don't start out with a clean page. We're not a blank tablet. This generation enters into the story that was told by the generation before, and we who hear the story are committed to tell the story in order that our children and our children's children will be able to live in the flow of the story, God's story, the story of the good and gracious God who created all things and who embraces us in a grace that will never let us go, that enables us to know who we are and what we are about, the purpose to which God calls us and the goal toward which God is moving us. We come in and we place ourselves in the presence of God to hear the story. But this moment is not simply about a story past. This moment is about bringing our stories into the presence of God as well. For we all have stories. And we are writing our story every day. Where have you been this week? What has touched your life this week? Have you rejoiced in the birth of a child? Have you received the news of the death of one long loved? Have you been by a bedside? Have you stood with a child in disappointment? Have you heard news that has put a totally different complexion on the future? Where have you been this week? There is nothing in the story of your life this week that does not belong here. We bring it here. We bring our stories to church. We bring our stories in the presence of God. Our life before God's face. Part of the irrelevancy of the church stems from the fact that life gets compartmentalized so that there's no conjunction of God's story and our story. And if that is not in conjunction, then this will be a dreary Sunday obligation. And there will be no illumining of the experience, the daily experience of tomorrow. But rightly understood, this moment is a time to hear God's story again. In the light of what's happened to us in our story, Because in our lives, our human experience, there is nothing that needs not to be brought here. Worship is the gathering of all of the ingredients of our life and setting it in the presence of God. The tragedy that is so dark that we wonder if the dawn will ever come. The pain that is so deep that we can't even bring it to expression. The joy that is so overwhelming that we'll bust if we can't shout it, sing it, dance it. The love that is so compelling that it brings tears to our eyes, a catch in our throat. The whole variety of human experience, all of that, bundled together, brought in here, to be placed in conjunction with God's story. God's story. Our story. Our life in God's light. Worship, then, is that occasion where those stories coming into conjunction give us the opportunity to transcend the ordinary limits of our ordinary days. Don't you know there's more in you than has ever found expression? Isn't it true that there are songs to sing that you've not yet been able to sing? Do you not sense that there are joys whose depths you've not yet plumbed, and pain whose darkness you've yet dared not look into? Are we not limited, hemmed in? Are we not, as human beings, limited and yet always knowing there's something more? And is it not in a setting like this where we dare to feel the pain, to sense the joy, to raise the question, to acknowledge the doubt, to own the hurt, to celebrate the love? Is it not here in this moment that we sense that we were made to jump out of our skins, to transcend ourselves? Isn't it this moment, these moments, times like this, where the potential is there to lift us out of our seat, to raise us to some other dimension, to give us a tongue we never knew we possessed, to set our feet to dancing and our eyes to glistening? Here, to laugh and to cry, to taste it all before the face of God. And sometimes the light breaks through. And sometimes we know the glory. And we go out, and it really doesn't matter if the beautifully woven phrases of the prayer or the exhilaration of the anthem or some scintillating insight of the message, it doesn't matter whether that goes with us or not. We go out, and it's all right because our lives have been touched. Where our lives have been in touch. God has touched our lives. And there's healing in that. There's healing in that. And we can go on again. There's fresh courage. There's renewed hope. There's strength for the journey. Worship. Day of all the week, the best. And of all the day, which is the best of all the week, this is the time. This is the place. The wonder of worship. The wonder of God. The goodness, mercy, and grace of the God who holds us in God's cupped hand. Let us worship God in song and offering.